Ladies and gentlemen,
starring
Mike Murray
and
Nicole Rovine.
This
is
SNL.
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 By the numbers.
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 Hello, everyone. Welcome to SNL by the numbers on a special night coming to you live on a Thursday. And if you're watching along with us, don't adjust your monitor because Sammy K is here with us live as my co-host for Nicole. So I'd like to welcome Sammy making his By the Numbers debut. We just debuted our friendship 10 minutes ago because we just met.
Yes.
And we're doing this right now. How's it going, Sammy?
I'm doing a lot better now that I can officially call Mike Murray a friend and not just a podcasting network acquaintance. So, you know, this is a very big moment for me. You know, I was just telling Mike before the show, I've been involved with the Saturday Night Network since it was called SNL Stats, you know, 2 years ago. So it's nice to finally be on the SNL Stats by the Numbers show. So very excited to be here.
Right. You know, they're one and the same. We've changed names twice now, but the stats have remained. I sent John a meme a long time ago of when Simba looked up to Mufasa and Mufasa says, like, never forget who you are. And it was the SNL Stats logo. So what we bring to you on this show every week. We usually run on Wednesdays. We're on a Thursday now. And just for this week, we'll be back next week on our usual time, Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern. But for now, we're coming to you, just me and Sammy tackling this thing. So, since it's your first time on the show, are you into stats at all? Like, what's your relationship with numerals?
Yeah, so, you know, different from statistics, but I did major in accounting. So me and numbers, you know, go a long way. I haven't pursued an actual career in accounting. So maybe me and numbers have had some beef over the years post-college, but no,
CPA, Sammy K.
Yeah. Didn't get the CPA, but got the accounting degree. I do enjoy numbers. I do like stats, especially when it comes to like pop culture and entertainment. I'm a pretty big like movie trivia junkie. Like I've always been like, you know, an SNL fan, but I didn't really start looking at SNL from like a statistical point of view until, you know, a couple years ago. I found a Twitter account called SNL Stats and started following it. And then, you know, that's turned into this opportunity here. But I'm a big box office junkie. Like a box office kind of record. And, you know, there's a game like similar to Wordle that I play a lot called the box office game. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it's like they give you every day, they'll pick a random weekend and it'll give you like the top five movies at the box office. And all you know is like the studio and how much money it made. And you have to guess it with like as little amount of hints as possible. And every time you pick a hint, you like the point value goes down. And like, I love that stuff. Like it's a lot of fun to me. So, and similarly, I dig SNL stats as well. So I'm excited to like dig into all the numbers. I did tease to you a bit of box office trivia beforehand that I feel like, you know, this is a good time to bring it out. So
hit me. What do you got?
All right. I don't know how well versed you are with box office stuff, but
not at all.
All right, great. So this is going to go so well. I'm like pretty sure this is still accurate. You know, obviously movies come out all the time. So, but I'm pretty sure this is still accurate. Before Top Gun Maverick came out this past summer, can you guess what was the highest grossing opening weekend for a Tom Cruise movie? I'm not asking you for the number. I'm asking you like if you can name a Tom Cruise movie that you think opened to the most amount of money during a weekend, what would your guess be?
A lot of good picks. Maybe my favorite movie of all time is A Few Good Men, so shout out to that movie. I'm going to go with Cameron Crowe, Jerry Maguire. What do we think?
So I don't know where that ranks. I know that's not correct.
I'm assuming it's an action movie, but I had to throw the dollars out there.
I'll throw you one more hint before I give you the answer. It is a movie that he did not star in, and it actually he makes an appearance in the movie, and it stars a former SNL.
Tropic Thunder?
No. It's do you want to guess one more, or should I just lay it on you?
Hit me with the answer.
It's Austin Powers and Goldmember, open to like something north of $70 million, opened up higher than any of the Mission Impossible movies, like any, you know, War of the Worlds, stuff like that.
Right. He's in the film within a film, right? At the end.
Yes. He's in Austin Pussy. You know, the opening like 10 minutes is like Tom Cruise as Austin Powers. You have Gwyneth Paltrow as
DeVito.
Dixie Chicks and Danny DeVito as Mini-Me. But yeah, I've always found that to be a very funny box office stat that totally got ruined by Top Gun Maverick making a ton of money this year, because now that is the reigning champ. So it's all moot at this point.
Sammy Stats, ladies and gentlemen, making his debut. He brings the numbers with him. Saturday Night Live, 7 episodes, lucky 7. You have been on by the numbers before, and I also haven't talked to you about the show. So how are you feeling about this season? Have you noticed any trends? And just like, give me your overall vibe just before we dig in, because we're going to start, fast with the screen time in a moment. So how are you feeling about the show this year?
Yeah, I'd say I'm overall positive on the show. I see a lot of great kind of like, potential is the right word. I think like a lot of the newbies, a lot of the featured players are over delivering this season. I think that's like a pretty common theme that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, specifically people like Sarah Sherman and Michael Longfellow are making a big splash, which I find to be very exciting. I do, I'm not sure if the numbers, you know, tell this same story, but I feel like from a qualitative feeling, a trend that I've noticed this season is like almost like the cast has like a middle class problem, and middle class in the sense of like, I feel like more so than in recent history, you know, the newbies are having a lot of, you know, screen time and a lot of opportunity to, you know, present themselves on Update and have pieces. And on the reverse of that, you have people like Keenan and Cecily who, you know, are putting up a ton of sketches. And I know Keenan's unsurprisingly leading the cast in, you know, sketch appearances. And Cecily, even though she missed a couple episodes, is, you know, doing really well and appeared in a ton of sketches this last episode. But I feel like it's the people in the middle, people like Heidi Gardner or Mikey Day, who the numbers might not say this way, but as far as like the impact I'm getting from like their contributions to the season, they're not things that are necessarily like memorable or sticking out to me. And I don't really know like what is happening there, and the numbers could be telling a different story, but that's just kind of like the feeling I'm getting from the season is like, you know, on the ends of longevity of the cast, you're seeing a lot of good things happening. And then in the middle, you're not seeing as much impact. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, in the Chris Farley days, we used to have, you know, the featured players, the rep players, and we used to actually have the middle players. So, you know, with a bigger cast that might work out. But yeah. And as far as, you know, we're going to look at actual stats with the screen time. So we'll get that ready. And I was just thinking like, if your opening take right there on the season is if you were the manager of this squad, like, would you change that? Or is the way it's going, you think, trending positively? Or would you mix up the roster a little bit? Because, you know, it could, there's a lot of scenarios, a lot of parallel universes with this cast, and they all could be different and still be good. So yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really good question. I feel like my gut reaction is somewhere that maybe, you know, the show could try out some different things is at the Update desk. You know, I feel like you're seeing a lot of people for good reason, you know, coming back to the Update desk multiple times throughout this early part of the season. You know, Sarah Sherman, Michael Longfellow, people I've mentioned before, and they've been great pieces. But I do, going back to Heidi, would like to see someone who I, you know, when she first joined the show, during her first couple seasons, I really thought she was like queen of Update. Like, she really had a lot of great characters, you know, Bailey Gismert, the, you know, the movie critic, the former boxer wife, like so many great characters. And that was a really great place for her to kind of shine. And to my knowledge, maybe I'm forgetting something. She hasn't been on Update this season yet.
She was with Chloe.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Stacey Hull and Debbie Bussey. Was that?
Yes. Two? Yeah. Yeah. And that was solid. Yeah. So, and again, it could just be the sort of thing where, you know, the more recent things are sticking out in my head, but you know, I'd like to see a little bit more kind of opportunity for other people on the cast.
A little more equity at the desk. Yeah, for sure. I think Heidi Gardner could be a Mount Rushmore update correspondent. Just brings the heat all the time. Yeah, let's go ahead and pull up the screen time in this last episode. Yeah. We talk about Keke Palmer. So, yeah, while you're pulling that up, what do you think about Keke this week?
Do you see it?
Yep.
Keke, I really, really enjoyed her presence on the show. I mean, she, you know, her career is so interesting to me because obviously she was like a child star and she's been around for so long. And suddenly, when she was announced as a host, I was surprised and was looking forward to it, but I was kind of surprised because sure, she was in Nope this past year, but that, you know, came out, you know, already in the summer and it's December. And, you know, I feel like there's been a lot of like kind of interesting things with like host choices this year that aren't like unconventional from like a booking standpoint but like more so like a timing standpoint, like, you know, having someone like Keke on the show, you know, months after her movie comes out, and same thing with Austin Butler coming up. But she really killed it. She's somebody who I'd love to see, you know, come back and host again. I've been watching a lot of, you know, classic, not ready for prime time players, you know, SNL, like season 2 episodes, season 3 episodes recently, you know, specifically because Steve Martin and Marty Short are hosting this weekend. So I've been watching some old Steve Martin episodes and, you know, obviously back in the day, people would come host, you know, multiple times in the season. And, you know, Keke Palmer is the first host in a long time where I'm like, I would not mind if they decided in the spring, like, to just bring her back. Like, I thought she was like really, really great, gelled well, yeah, and, brought a lot of good energy.
And bring the baby, you know, come back in.
Baby. Yeah, the baby, the baby, not the baby, but her baby can host.
The baby did MG with J-Lo back in the day, and he brought the Jabberwockies. And the Jabberwockies were actually mentioned on the show last week. So bring them all. Yeah. Bring the baby, the baby, and bring the Jabberwockies.
Little baby,
Support
baby. It all.
Yeah, little baby was wasn't he? He show up with SZA in the Paul Rudd 45 finale with DJ Khaled. So you know, there's a lot of connections going on. Last time SZA was there. Yeah, so we got the screen time up here. Sammy's gonna read it out for us. But yeah, my quick take on Keke, like, I feel embarrassed now after listening to like great coverage from the SNN this week, but I had never heard of Keke Palmer, and I went in and I love these episodes that I don't know the host. Wow. I know. Now I feel like it's like crazy because I didn't see Nope and I really wanted to see that movie. I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah.
But it also reminded me that because, you know, and she's actually my like exact age, and like going back as you get older, you start to recognize, you know, less hosts. And Ariana DeBose last year I loved, and Reggae Jean Page the year before I thought was like excellent. So this is like 3 years in a row that already one of my favorite episodes was by someone I didn't recognize. So a lot of times people were like jazzed for, you know, a known commodity, and then someone like Keke Palmer comes in, I thought she made every sketch better, whether it was a great sketch or not so great. She was like phenomenal.
It's real quick, it's surprising when like, so you're 29 then and I'm 27. And it's funny how like, you know, such a small age gap when you're younger can be like such a huge kind of generational difference in pop culture, because not that I was like a huge Keke Palmer fan or anything like as a kid.
Totally true though.
Was very familiar with like, I've never seen the Kilo and the Bee, but like that was always a movie that was like, just like talked about because it's like a weird movie title. And like True Jackson VP was like a Nickelodeon show she was on. And probably the thing I know her most from was this jump roping movie, this Disney Channel jump roping movie called Jump In with Corbin Bleu.
Was this a DCOM?
This was a DCOM. Jump In. They were, I don't remember the plot too well, but it was competitive jump roping. So, you know, she.
Oh, I figured she might have been a Nickelodeon kid.
She was True Jackson VP was a Nickelodeon show, but she also was in the DCOM. So I guess there's a weird crossover there. But yeah, I can go ahead and start reading out the screen time for this episode. All right. So starting off, Keke Palmer, 23 minutes and 39 seconds. Cecily Strong, And should I also be saying like the number of appearances here as well?
You can forget that. It's like, go to our Instagram.
Guys, this is my first time on here. So I just want to make sure I'm doing a good job for my new friend Mike here. But next, thanks. Next, we have Cecily Strong at 15 and 10 seconds. Keenan Thompson with 7 minutes and 58 seconds. Sarah Sherman with 7 minutes and 50 seconds. Bowen Yang with 7 minutes and 20 seconds. SZA with 6 minutes and 9 seconds. Ego Nwodum with 5 minutes and 52 seconds. Michael Che with 5 minutes and 45 seconds. Colin Jost, 5 minutes, 20 seconds. Molly Kearney, 5 minutes, 12 seconds. Mikey Day, 4 minutes, 43 seconds. Michael Longfellow, or as I call him, Mikey Longs, 3 minutes, 45 seconds. Punky Johnson, 3 minutes, 29 seconds. James Austin Johnson, 3 minutes, 18 seconds. Heidi Gardner, 2 minutes, 34 seconds. Devin Walker, 1 minute and 47 seconds. Chloe Fineman, 1 minute, 41 seconds. Marcella Hernandez, 1 minute, 13 seconds. Kel Mitchell, 55 seconds. Andrew Dismukes, 49 seconds. Natasha Lyonne, 48 seconds. And the great Steve Higgins with 12 seconds.
There you have it. These are the totals. I got a great question from our friend Eric, who was on the show with us a few weeks ago. And I just like questions like this because it's like maybe the one time I can really nerd out about the process of doing this crazy data collection. And it was about Cecily and Kiki when they had body doubles. You know, it was obviously for comedic effect when they, in the soap opera, the Forcington's Ridge sketch.
Yeah.
And then again with Sarah and Bowen as the womb babies when they had the breakdancers come in. So yeah, there's so many permutations of screen time collection. And over the like 5 years I've been doing this, I feel like I've seen them all and then something comes up. But in this case, I did have precedent, Selena Gomez, Post Malone last season with the baby's sketch and the baby monitor. And yeah, if they're not on screen and they're not speaking, I don't collect the data. So it's not, they did not get screen time. But Kiki and Cecily were talking a lot during that action sequence, so they got screen time for that. So great question, Eric. It is one of those kind of like in-betweens where you like don't know if that's screen time or not, but my main goal is to always be consistent. So Cecily dominated 15-10, and I had a number from Kate from a few years ago that was 15-29. I want to say we put it up on the Instagram. I think if Cecily did her own stunts, maybe she would have beat that. So good point by Eric. And then another comment was Sarah Sherman, career high, 750. So what do you, when you look at this, Sammy, what do you see?
Well, what I found to be really interesting about the Cecily Strong number is that, you know, I watched the show live on Saturday night. And granted, this was the first episode this season I watched with like a group of friends. So, you know, when I'm watching it like alone or with my girlfriend, it's very different than when I'm watching it with a group of friends. You know, people are talking, like whatever. Like, so, you know, it wasn't like the most active watch. And then when I saw the stat that Cecily Strong, you know, had that like amount of screen time, I kind of like was trying to look back in my head. I'm like, you know, I remember a lot about this episode, but, you know, her actual presence, you know, didn't necessarily stick out to me. And then, you know, just based off that first watch, and then I rewatched the episode today, and like, yeah, obviously she's all over the episode. You know, she's doing a lot of these parts where in like, you know, the ultrasound sketch where she's kind of, you know, commenting on the action and not necessarily the focal point or the real kind of comedic, you know, epicenter of like what the sketch is trying to do. But I just found that to be really kind of interesting, and maybe that says more about like my first watch of the episode than her actual contribution. But yeah, it was like it was kind of a sneaky killer episode for her, in my opinion.
Yeah, big time. I mean, a lot of the conversation on this podcast comes back to eyeball test versus the numbers, and that's why it's interesting to talk about, because sometimes, you know, one person's viewership of the episode could be interpreted differently than someone else's because what was more memorable to them. And a lot of times the next stat we look at is the power rankings, and we'll get into that in a moment. And one of the reasons for that stat is because sometimes an update spot or a cold open spot can just be so dominant that they always take over the episode. where in this case, you know, Cecily, Keenan, Mikey, and JAJ, but it was a short cold open. It was about like 440 around that range. And, but then Cecily is like in every sketch. So that, you know, you kind of could not miss Cecily, but maybe right. if she was playing more of the straight role or kind of like dictating the tempo of that sketch and not being the crazy character, getting the laughs, maybe, you know, doesn't stand out as much, but 15-10, I mean, that's more than a host last year got. So yeah. that's like, that's a host stat right there.
I mean, it's crazy to me that it's like, just looking at it again, like it's literally double the next cast member, Keenan, you know, it's like over, you know, that's like very impressive. And yeah, I mean, you know, seven appearances, you know, I think I was listening to the patron feedback show episode yesterday, and Casey brought up a point of maybe, you know, Cecily has been having all these appearances to kind of make up to the show about, you know, with her like missing, you know, the first couple episodes of the season, or it's just Cecily's like one of the best cast members of all time. And when you have her in the building, you use her, you know, and you make a, you're going to make a sketch funnier. Now, granted, would it be nice to see some other people kind of similar to what I was saying, like get that opportunity, you know, that yes, like it would be, but you know, Cecily's one of the greats. So.
Yeah. And I was looking at I keep the season 48. I've been calling it this season, like the back of the baseball card, just as we go on. And Cecily has the second highest screen time per appearance behind Dismukes, actually, not including the update guys, because they've 7 for 7 have not appeared anywhere else on the show other than update. But yeah, Dismukes is 1:49 per appearance, and Cecily is 1:43. So just shows that, you know, when they're on screen for a while. So yeah, other than that, you know, we had a couple cameos, Natasha Lyonne and Dismukes, and that was all we saw of them as far as Dismukes not being a cameo, but it was the same sketch as Natasha. And then Kel Mitchell in the pre-tape. And then was Kel at the Goodnights? Do you remember, Sammy?
Kel was at the Goodnights. And what was interesting is that, or at least I saw the chatter online, is that I think Kiki forgot to thank him in the Goodnights, which that could just be a matter of my thought process of it was, you know, he's in a pre-tape. And like maybe when you're not always in the building, you know, when you're in the pre-tape, a lot of the times you're not in the building if it's a cameo, you know, for a pre-tape. So I don't know if that's like a cue card mishap and, you know, he wasn't included in that, but no, he was at the Goodnights, and it was cool to see him up there with Keenan, you know, at, you know, Studio 8H.
Yeah, no, awesome. I think that's cool when, you know, you're not on the show live and then you're at least viewing the show and at the Goodnights and getting your due, even if the host doesn't name you. Anyway, other than that, yeah, I think we should move on to the power rankings. And yeah, good point by Ken, Ryan Phillippe, who was in the Will Forte episode, only in pre-tapes with MacGruber's. And yeah, I don't think he was in the Goodnights either, but
yeah,
not like Kel. But yeah, we're going to move on to the power rankings. But yeah, it was a big cast episode other than, well, Sammy grabs that one. I was looking at the full cast usage, and this was the second most cast episode other than like Miles Teller. So everybody was really in the show a lot. So if you're like our friend Andrew Haynes, SNL has a cast, you want to see some cast, this is a good cast episode. And I've been saying this a lot on By the Numbers this year, but we have yet to have a shutout. So Cecily has 3 excused absences at the beginning of the season. But other than that, every single cast member has been in every episode, which in the last few years just like was not the case at all for many reasons and some unknown reasons. But so everyone's popping up for a little or a lot. And I think it's for a more fun show.
I have a follow-up question for you before we get into this. You know, you're saying that's an excused absence. Would you consider Pete not being in the majority of the later half of last season as a excused absence, or just you know, something else?
Just extracurricular.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I excuse as in meaning I should have said expected, just because we kind of knew going in that she would not be at least at the premiere, and probably the first group, and that ended up being true. Came back after the first group of 3 after the Megan episode. So yeah, but with Pete, I think it was kind of like, is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? And now we hear that, oh, he wasn't at dress. He's not going to be in the show again. So
yeah, just wanted to clarify.
Great question.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're looking at the power rankings stat that combines everything. So we look at screen time to talk about the episode of the week. We look at power rankings to discuss the season. So as I mentioned, this is week 7. So we have a lot of data. This stat takes into consideration literally thousands of data points to just give us one number and say, how does the cast rank? You know, I don't want to rank them personally. You know, me and Sammy aren't going to rank them, but we want the stats to rank them. Well, if you want to go ahead and give us the good news here.
Sure. So am I reading the episode 7 or the average?
You're going to read the cast and then the 48 average, because that would be all the episodes combined into an average.
Yep. That is an average. Yep. All right. So we have at number 1, we have Kenan Thompson with 103.22. At number 2, we have Heidi Gardner with 96.62. We have at number 3, Bowen Yang with 92.32. And number 4, Ego Nwodum with 83.83. And number 5, Mikey Day with 78.64. And number 6, Colin Jost with 74.86. And number 7, Chloe Fineman with 73.68. And number 8, we have Cecily Strong with 72.22. And number 9, James Austin Johnson with 67.1. At number 10, Andrew Dismukes with 58.23. And number 11, Sarah Sherman with 57.68. And number 12, Michael Che with 51.65. And number 13, Michael Longfellow with 50.82. At number 14, Punky Johnson with 43.02. At number 15, Devin Walker with 40.78. At number 16, Marcela Hernandez with 35.37. And number 17, Molly Kearney with 31.95.
Thanks, Sammy. If you're looking at the screen with us and can see this, you know, I try to, you know, make it pop. It's not, you know, as pretty as the data visualizations maybe on social media, but, you know, I like the color scheme here. We got some greens for good episodes and maybe reds for not so good episodes. And I put, you know, so we have the ranking, the list. And then if they moved up or down, because this is, you know, a power ranking, like a lot of sports, it's just some teams are rising and falling. And so that's showing you how it moved since we last spoke after the Chappelle episode. This is how it's moved. The average, and then the score for every episode. So if you want to look back and say what were, Heidi or Dismuke's best episodes, you can just see it right here. And then at the end, I added this one for the first time this week, which was, did their average go up or down? Because at the end of the day, that might be the most important thing, because we're talking about the Keke Palmer episode. Because I remember I did this today and I was like, oh, well, Michael Longfellow dropped 2 spots and he had a great episode. He was on update. And it's only because other people's average went up so much that they ended up passing him in the rankings, but his score did go up. So the far right column. And I just highlighted red if their average decreased at all from this episode, and green if it went up. So obviously Cecily's went up huge. Keenan's, Bowen's, and Sarah's went up, and Che and Molly. But other than that, a lot of them either stayed the same or went down. So Michael Longfellow did have a better than normal episode, but did fall a little bit. So Sammy, what do you think about the rankings of this season and just, you know, this stat in general of how to assess the cast?
Right. I mean, this is very cool, like, to see it. 'Cause I'm an audio listener mainly with, the SNL or with the Saturday Night Network. So, you know, I've never actually seen this visually. This is a very cool sort of thing you put together. I mean, kind of going back to my initial point, which maybe I'm totally wrong, because, you know, maybe the numbers don't lie, but seems like Heidi is having a pretty good season. But then you kind of look at, you know, since episode 3, it looks like her number went down to 106 and then kind of stayed around that range and then had a massive fall off this episode. So maybe it's like a recency bias thing for me with her. And she's still number 2 overall. So I find that to be, I guess, a little surprising based on, you know, what I said before.
Yeah, let's talk about Heidi for a quick moment, just because that's kind of been my storyline, just because I think it's interesting and cool, and I'm a Heidi fan as well, is that she has been killing it, like I said, putting up Kate numbers. So it's like, I think I said last time, like, it's kind of like saying putting up LeBron numbers, like just being a force on the court. So Heidi Gardner, I think for the, yeah, I know for the first time in her career was top of the cast and was like, I think like 0.2 points behind Keenan the week before. And then after the Chappelle episode, took the top spot from Keenan, which Keenan basically is always on top. It was kind of Keenan, Beck, or Kate were like always around number one. And then it was Heidi Gardner, who I think was somebody who was considered to be liked by the fans, talented, versatile, but was kind of waiting in the wings for maybe the 80s and Kates and Cecily's, and then was showing up. So yeah, when Sammy said that, I was like, well, I think he's about to find out that she did just have, quote unquote, statistically the lowest episode of her season, because
right,
she put up over 100 in every other episode other than the Gleason one. Mm-hmm. So has been killing it this season. And so it's kind of been Bowen and Heidi and Keenan have been consistently the best, and that's why they're top three here.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, and then, you know, you do talk about, though, you know, as someone waiting in the wings, right? And maybe for me, again, the numbers don't necessarily say this, but they kind of do, is that, you know, maybe Cecily coming back, you know, these last couple episodes, you know, besides the Chappelle episode, Cecily's been putting up, you know, pretty strong numbers. And, you know, for example, like the ultrasound test, you know, sketch, you know, that is an opportunity that went to Cecily that could have maybe gone to Heidi. So, you know, those kind of roles since her return, similar to when Kate, you know, was busy filming something, I think last season for, you know, a good chunk of the season, I feel like once she came back, you know, that affected, you know, some opportunities for Heidi as well. So maybe that's kind of why I'm thinking about that.
Yeah. No, I think SNL likes to, one, have a versatile cast. I mean, why wouldn't you? But also kind of just have, you know, like understudies or people who can swing into sketches. So that definitely there's some crossover. And I think that about JAJ too, with who kind of looking for who's going to be the next Beck. And they're like, oh, maybe it's Moffitt. And then like playing those, we always call them like dad roles. And now like, JAJ can, you know, can do that kind of thing, and Mikey Day does it all the time. So I think for sure Sammy, like Heidi and Cecily, could fill similar roles and both deliver like high, you know, A plus performances at those roles that are just like, you need to read a lot of lines and you need to have good timing, keep the sketch going, support the host, that type of thing. So yeah, I think that's totally true. And then yeah, the other thing is Chloe had a down episode, so she was somebody who was like really came out strong after a not so great season last year, had a little flash at the end with her, was an inventing Chloe with her impressions. I love that sketch. And then, yeah, she's, that was in the Cumberbatch episode, right? Oh, that one, the inventing Chloe was in the Oscar Isaac. And then the understudy one was in the Cumberbatch one with Elizabeth Olsen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Chloe Fineman, yeah, 28.7 the last one, but her average for the season, 73.7. So it is interesting. And then yeah, Dismukes. So things like that. But that's why we look at the stat as a season, you know, take a step back, look at the whole season, because as Sammy pointed out very astutely, it's like, you know, you have one down episode and you're like, oh, I haven't seen this person in a while. And it's, that's the way you really feel. So that's why the numbers are interesting to look at.
Especially when we come back from like a break, you know, or like a hiatus, where it's all right, like the Keke Palmer episode, all right, let's see our cast and who's popping up. And you know, this might lead into kind of our next conversation a little bit, but just looking at this chart, I mean, the Dismukes numbers are just like are pretty troubling in my opinion as a Dismukes fan. So I don't know if we should pop into the kind of highlights.
Let's roll right into that. So, you know, this is a segment we come back to once in a while when we haven't, you know, feel like we've talked about one particular person or two particular cast members' seasons. And so, yeah, I asked Sammy, I'm like, yeah, who do you want to talk about tonight? And I thought he had a great take on Dismukes, and I think this episode is a perfect launch point for it. So, yeah, Sammy, just take it away. Let's talk about our boy, Andrew.
Yeah. So Dismukes is somebody who, if you guys have listened to me on any of our shows, these past 2 years, like when he joined the cast, someone I was super excited about, you know, right off the bat. I think the first sketch that comes to mind to me was the sketch that had to do with the kidnapping of the Michigan governor, who, you know,
it's Jack Flats.
Yeah, Jack Flats. Yes. And I'm from Michigan.
Issa Rae.
Yes. I'm from Michigan. So, you know, that one definitely sticks out in my mind. But that's where, like, he definitely popped for me at first, and his kind of brand of, you know, weird comedy scratched a bit of the itch of, you know, not exactly like a Will Forte, but, you know, he definitely had, you know, some of those elements as a cast member. And I really thought, you know, with him being bumped up to a repertory player, that this would be a really exciting season for him, especially with people like Kyle, who fills a bit of that niche, you know, leaving the cast and leaving some room for him. And then, you know, the first episode of the season, like, you know, he does really well. He's in the cold open with Miles Teller during the Manning cast sketch, which is still one of my favorite sketches of the season. And then you look at this and, like, pretty consistently is dropping with every episode, more or less, with this being like the season low for him. And I don't know, like, really what is going on there. You know, something that I kind of thought of is the other cast member I'd like to talk about today is Michael Longfellow, to where they aren't exactly, you know, when I look at them, besides the fact that they're both two white men, like, you know, their brand of humor isn't necessarily like one-to-one for me. And obviously, you know, Longfellow does like a lot of update pieces as himself in the last sketches. He's kind of playing himself, but it does feel like there might be some sort of correlation between the kind of downward trend of Dismukes and the upward trend, or just sort of presence of Longfellow this season. I don't know if that's something you've thought about at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a decent take, especially after, you know, we just talked about cast members that can fill similar roles. It's natural to just assume that people who maybe look alike, or people who maybe have similar tendencies or style on the show, could, you know, be in competition. I mean, I think that if you're a fan of this show, or you know the show, whether you like it or not, the SNL is a competition reality show. I mean, it really is. At the end of the day, it is a team sport, and these are talented artists backstage, behind the camera, makeup, hair, effects, everything, and they make a great show. But I mean, if you look back at the history of the show, so many careers have been probably made and broken by this show. Like, it hasn't worked out, or you've become Will Ferrell or Eddie Murphy. So it's not too crazy to assume that someone in the cast at some point is thinking, that could be me. I'm sure everyone who entered the cast thinks that, because it's their dream. They're talented performers. So I think it is a decent take. And I think that Dismukes probably, I was about to ask you if there was a certain sketch you had in mind, because they are someone I was looking at, even their ages. Andrew's 27 and Michael's 28, almost 29. So mm-hmm. They, you know, they maybe fill kind of a younger guy role, which I mentioned earlier about like dad roles, like Moffat,
right,
or Beck Bennett, or JAJ even could, you know, definitely play 20 years older than themselves, where Michael and Dismukes might play, you know, more of a teenager or someone their own age more. So it's definitely valid. I mean, if you were Andrew's agent, would you be pitching anything, or you think you're just kind of just like a couple down weeks for him?
Yeah, I think it's probably more along those lines. You know, I guess you had mentioned, like, is there like maybe a specific sketch that I think, you know, if Longfellow hadn't joined the cast, this is something that Dismukes would be getting. I mean, I think the first one that comes to mind is the barbershop sketch from the Chappelle episode. I definitely think, you know, if that was last season, he totally would have filled that kind of role there.
Love that sketch. Too.
So good.
Such a good,
really
one.
Good. Yeah.
Top five for me so far. Just, I think everyone's Punky, Ego, Keenan, just the timing was so good. And just, looking at Andrew, who's third season, first season as a repertory player, So just comparing his season last year, he was at 15 minutes, 20 seconds of screen time at this point last year. Now he's at 29 minutes, 1 second. So he's up 89%. I mean, if I would, anyone told me that, hey, next year you're going to have, your year is going to be 89% better, I would take that deal all day. So he's definitely in the top, quick mental math, like six most improved players this year. So definitely not worried about Andrew whatsoever. But it's interesting just to see, as Sammy pointed out, that his first two episodes were his best and his last two episodes were his worst, statistically speaking. I mean, he was quick, you know, quick Spider-Man appearance. That was it.
Whereas great Spider-Man appearance, though, even though it amounted to, you know, his 49 seconds of screen time this episode.
Yeah, I mean, there was someone else in the cast last year who played Spider-Man in a cold open, and they didn't even get to take their mask off. So at least Andrew had his mask off for that line delivery. Definitely. So Dismukes, Longfellow, both, I'm fans of both, and I think they're exceeding expectations, to be honest. So no worries there, but I like the parallel too. And I'll just skate right into my pick, which I think is some parallels too, especially actually almost identically with their position in the cast. Eric in the chat said not a good omen given the last Spider-Man. So if God forbid anything happens, Andrew's not back next season, we might have a Spider-Man curse brewing. But I don't want to speak too soon. So yeah, my two picks are gonna be Molly and Sarah. And so I think Sarah might be the most talked about cast member on our network for good reason. And Molly being new might be the least. And I was thinking about the two of them. And, you know, Molly came into this cast and is friends with Sarah, opened for her on tour before she was cast. And I just thought that seeing Molly have a good episode last week. And, you know, I think I was thinking about Molly before this break. And I'm like, they have a really... I think I'm kind of an enviable position in the cast actually for being statistically last, which is because they've kind of established their brand of humor without the aid of an update piece. And I think we kind of know what they bring already, but just haven't maybe given a great opportunity. And it was because of the election night pre-tape with Please Don't Destroy. And then the new cast advice in the Gleason episode. And I was like, just thinking about how that's been two little opportunities, but I feel like we kind of know who Molly is and kind of know where they fit in. And then relating to Sarah is that I was looking at her numbers last year and I'm like, wow, Molly's actually doing better statistically than Sarah was last year. And Sarah just had a really early splash in her premiere with Dismukes in the 10-1. So just kind of again, like Sammy had the Dismukes being in his third year and Longfellow being in his first. I'm like Molly being in their first year, Sarah being in her second. So just kind of the same feeling, but I'm actually excited about where Molly will go. And they were in the Hello Kitty sketch and the choir sketch. So one thing I was looking for was to see them in live sketches more because they were only really in like the deer sketch from the Megan the Stallion episode, which is a pretty polarizing one.
one that I've defended on this this podcast.
Yeah, were you a fan of the deer sketch?
Yeah. John was really like trying to, you know, break it down and be like, but like what was the point? And I'm just like, I don't know what the point was. I just thought it was just I'm a sucker for sometimes they'll have like a puppet or, you know, some like weird sort of way that the production team brings a sketch to life that the visual alone can be funny to me. But
I agree with that. I love a good practical thing on stage live.
Yeah. Kind of jumping back to what you were saying, that is really interesting that, you know, especially during the first couple episodes of the season, when, you know, one after another, we had the featured players, you know, Mikey Longs, Marcelo and Devin all get like their update piece. And everyone was kind of like, all right, when we come back, you know, from the hiatus, you know, would you want to see Molly get that shot? And you know, I had kind of had a thought on the show of, you know, do we like the idea of like them kind of all going in succession? Like, is it gonna make it to where you're comparing them kind of more as like a, you know, who did it best sort of thing? And that's gonna happen, I guess, whether you do it in like the first four episodes consecutively, or, you know, throughout the first couple episodes, or throughout their first season in general, you're gonna compare who had the best kind of opening. But the fact that they're doing it in a different way, to where they had, you know, the pre-tape opportunities, that I think both of those were really great showcases and, you know, some of my favorite pre-tapes of the season. And then in these live sketches in this past episode, you know, they're making a splash in their own way where they don't have to do it at the update desk.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of where I was coming from, is I think it's harder to edge out your brand in the show without literally sliding in being like, hey, I'm Molly, this is what I'm about. Because as much as that is such a great way to introduce yourself to the SNL fan base, it's also kind of cool to be like, hey, I'm just going to make you laugh and then you're going to like me in ensemble. So I really like their two pre-tapes. So I wanted to shout out to Molly, who hasn't gotten enough love, I think. And yeah, like I said, had a good episode. So yeah, we're going to move on and preview our next episode, which I know we're very excited about. And it's unique for a lot of reasons. We have Steve Martin returning to the show, hosting for a 16th time, which is one short of the all-time record of Alec Baldwin, 17. We have Martin Short hosting alongside him for his fourth time, former cast member, history with the show. So yeah, I just... Obviously, there's so much to talk about. Next week on By the Numbers, we'll be talking about so much of it. Going to have Bill Kenny on, so it's going to be a good show. so I'll tease that right now, breaking news. And I was thinking of, I always like to do a segment on By the Numbers that I've never done before. And, you know, maybe eventually after 30 shows, I'll have to, you know, repeat something. But in this case, with Sammy on, you know, as I'm sure you all know, Sammy hosts Superfan Takeover. So he is a certified superfan and has great takes. Yeah, I just, you know, I love Sammy's takes and I love his voice on the podcast. And I was thinking about cameos. We've never really done a cameo stat. I've talked about cast usage and, you know, what kind of cast usage versus what kind of host, things like that. But I'm like, all right, let's just get to it. How many cameos have there been on SNL? Is it too much? Is it too little? Do we like where it is? Has it been changing? Has it been staying the same? So I did give Sammy a list, which he's going to pull up, which just has all the cameos of the last five seasons. So we're not going to read them out. There's so many of them. But just so we had a reference, and if you did want to, you know, pause the video and rewatch it and zoom in and, you know, go through them and be reminded of them, then great. But my quick stats on cameos before we wrap up our final discussion today was that over the last five seasons, so including this one we're in, 87 episodes, there's only been 15 episodes that featured zero cameos. And for the sake of this discussion, I've defined a cameo as a famous individual appearing on SNL, not in a musical performance, but on any other segment of the show, that isn't the musical guest or the host. So that could be a former cast member. That could be a random celebrity coming in. If they have a famous family member, that could be a cameo. But, you know, if it's not a famous person, or we already knew they were going to be there because they're the musical guest, that's not a cameo, in my opinion. And then if it's like Please Don't Destroy or Steve Higgins or somebody or Lauren or anyone who works on the show, it's not really a cameo because they work for SNL. So 15 episodes, that means in the last 5 years of the show, 17% of episodes have had no cameos. So basically saying that, you know, most of the time, to be exact, you know, 83% of the time there's cameos. So it's basically expected. And I was thinking, I was going to ask Sammy that this screams like a cameo filled episode. And I kind of wanted to maybe say the obvious things, but also kind of maybe dissect what to expect and what type of episodes we expect cameos in. So I want to open it up with Sammy by saying, do you like when SNL does heavy cameos, or will you prefer it to be on the lighter side and just have a kind of like baseline sketch episode?
Yeah, honestly, I'm into cameos. I enjoy cameos on SNL. I think it's just part of the DNA of the show, going back to the original 5 years. You know, obviously the amount of cameos heavily increased during the Trump era of the show. And if this data is going back, if that stat you gave us is going back 5 years, right? I mean, that's, you know, prime Trump SNL.
A lot of Alec Baldwins in there on this list.
A lot of Alec Baldwins, a lot of, you know, Ben Stiller as Michael Cohen, just like the really like that definitely became like egregious to a certain point. But overall, my general sense is I enjoy cameos, and especially when we started, you know, doing our roundtables here at the Saturday Night Network during that first season, which was the first COVID season back in fall 2020, you know, that was a topic of discussion a lot, was not having cameos and, you know, there being kind of a bit of an empty feeling, you know, compared to like, you know, the regular non-COVID times of the show, of you never know who's going to show up. And I think that's the fun of a live show. You never know what's going to happen, go right, go wrong, who's going to be there. So right. I'd say overall, I'm pro cameos, and especially, you know, when you have people like Steve Martin and Martin Short hosting the show. Steve Martin, who hasn't hosted since I was in eighth grade, crazy to me, like for someone who has like, you know, the second most host appearances of all time to not host for this long and to come back. It's just really exciting. And I think a lot of people are going to want to be there. A lot of notable celebrities are going to be there in the audience. So, you know, they are bound to make an appearance if, you know, they want to, or if, even if they don't, like they will be making an appearance.
Right. You just inspired two great points. One of them is a stat that I wanted to debut right now, which is cameos per episode for the five seasons we're looking at. And, you know, one of Sammy's points right there is going to align perfectly with this, because looking at season 44, 21 episodes, 50 cameos. That's 2.38 cameos per episode. Wow. Season 45, 18 episodes, 65 cameos. 3.61 cameos per episode. The COVID season, 46, which we had a lot of, you know, started off Maya Rudolph, Jim Carrey, Alec Baldwin. So there were cameos for sure, but maybe not the variety that we're used to. 20 episodes, 29 cameos. That's big dip from 3.61 down to 1.45. Last season, season 47, 21 episodes, 42 cameos. So that's two an episode on average. And then this season, we're in seven episodes in. We've had 11 cameos, 1.57 per episode. So can definitely see it ramping up maybe from 44 to 45. Maybe we can look at the list here. It's organized right now on Sammy's screen by most cameo episodes. But then, yeah, it really drops for the COVID year and then bounces back up. And we're going to see where, but I think this could be one of those episodes that, you know, could jump, pump that number up. So, and then Sammy brought up the politics of it all, which is, you know, the Trump years and the repeat cameo appearances by people. So other than politics, you know, what do you think is the number one detail or about, you know, about a host announcement for you that you would say, oh, there's going to be some cameos in this one?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is when, you know, a former cast member or someone who has a long history of the show comes back to host, because kind of like I said, with this upcoming episode, I feel like there's like, you know, a communal sort of vibe with people who have been associated with this show that has been around for almost 50 years. And, you know, you look at people like Steve Martin and Martin Short. Steve Martin, you know, hosted during the second season of, you know, SNL. So, you know, it's all, you know, it's back in 1976 we're talking about. So, you know, there's a long, you know, history of, you know, association with the show. And I mean, you look at, you know, the number one, you know, the episode with the most cameos, or at least tied for the most, you know, you have Eddie Murphy here. You know, he's a former cast member. He's somebody who had, you know, a relationship with the show that kind of soured for many years. And so the fact that I remember when they announced that he was coming back to host, they announced it like months in advance, like in a press release. Like they announced, like, I think it was like the first, you know, two or three episodes of the season. And then they also announced the Christmas show because they're like, yeah, we locked this in months in advance. This is a big deal. And clearly, you know, all these people showed up, not only to watch, but to participate in that history making episode. I mean, I remember the image during the Eddie Murphy monologue where you have like, you know, Dave Chappelle, Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock, and Keenan, who wasn't a cameo, but was just like, you know, popping up. And that's just such like a cool, iconic image that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we got something of that vein this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. With the Eddie take, that how like historic that felt, that episode. Just someone like Eddie Murphy, of course, the door is open for him, but for him to want to host and to agree to host was so huge. You know, to an extent, to Sandler when he came back a few years Definitely. Ago. But yeah, so I think it really made me think of maybe the number one, you know, Christmas episodes, finales, premieres, maybe they lend themselves to more excitement, more buzz for the show. But I think it's just like, this is an episode that I want to be there for. So I yeah. feel that way, like, time exponentially for some of these episodes that I for the Marty and Steve episode is that the fact that people are going to just want to be in the building. So, you know, you can call up Fred Armisen at 8 p.m. and he'll pop by. But people might want to fly from L.A. to New York and be like, oh, I want to go to the Martin Short, Steve Martin episode. So I think that might be maybe the most obvious, but also the most important distinction is episodes people want to be at. And even, you know, shout out to the Kim Kardashian episode. Like,
yeah,
maybe SNL fans didn't feel that way, but for her to be the host, I mean, she brought a lot of friends with her. People wanted to be there. And that's, she also had 9 cameos in that show, you know, including two, yeah. you know, famous relatives and Will Ferrell, John Mulaney. So yeah, there's definitely some, like when John Mulaney got his 5-timer jacket, of course, you're going to get Tom Hanks, Candace Bergen, Elliot Gould, Steve Martin, Conan showed up, Paul Rudd. So even Al Roker was there in a pre-tape.
Yeah. And I feel like with the Kim Kardashian episode, you know, I think around that time it was a season after, you know, the season where it was heavily affected by COVID. You know, it was the season after that, towards the beginning of the season, I think the second episode of the season. And so that was almost like an announcement of like, all right, SNL is kind of back to normal. We're going to, you know, have people pop in, you know, and you don't know who to expect. And I think that was kind of like what they were going for with that, in my opinion, having yeah, all those people show up.
Felt like a return to, you know, normalcy right there. So yeah, that's definitely is the buzz, just the atmosphere, people wanting to be there, is a big thing. If you know, because Lauren is a great producer of the show who gets great ratings. So if someone says that someone's going to be in the building, I'm sure he would be like thrilled if they want to be in a sketch. That's someone of, if Tom Hanks is going to fly in, like in a Look at the Jack Harlow episode, no one would probably have guessed that Jack Harlow and Bobby Moynihan would be in that for Jack Harlow, but it right. was lined up Halloween, David S. Pumpkins, everything worked out. So, let's wrap up, Sammy, by, do you have any predictions for Steve Martin and Martin Short, who Oof. Either a prediction or a wish list or one of each, and, you know, we'll call it a night.
Wow. Oh, I could, you know, spend like the rest of the next couple of days, like really just like thinking about it and imagining like kind of what we could see. I mean, I think the obvious answer is a Selena Gomez, episode or cameo. Selena Gomez cameo, I think if you wanted to, like, you know, go to Vegas and put money on it, I think that's your safest bet. You know, I am curious, you know, back in the day they had like a Platinum Lounge, you know, sketch that's like similar to the 5-timers club, but people who right. hosted the show even more times, like, you know, we were just talking about, like, I was just talking about with, you know, John and some of the other podcasters about like Christopher Walken is somebody who hasn't been on the show in a while and has hosted, you know, I think 8 or 9 times. So I don't know. you know, someone that, you know, has a lot of history with the show. But I think Selena Gomez is certainly the safest bet. The craziest thing to happen would be Chevy Chase showing up and doing like a Three Amigos thing. I think that would be pretty wild. I mean, he was at SNL 40.
I don't think it's that crazy. Just because Chevy's doing press right now. He's getting older. He's traveling now, I think, like with his wife and daughter. So I don't think his health is that great, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he just, I've heard him on a couple podcasts, I think in October. So Chevy is definitely putting himself out there anyway. If there's any time, I mean, God forbid, you know, that this is his last chance, then I would hope that, you know, Lauren would welcome Chevy back and it would be a fun reunion. I don't know how relevant a Three Amigos monologue or something like that would be in 2022, but just someone like that. I mean, I'm dying for Jane Curtin and Garrett Morris to show up on the show, before it's too late. So SNL 50 coming up and we're all excited about that. But a situation like this with Steve Martin, I mean, the guy has worked with so many legends of the show in the cast. And I mean, everyone who works in comedy, I think, respects the hell out of Steve Martin. Just him. And then you bring Martin Short in the mix, who's got to be one of the most likable guys you could work with, and also was a former cast member as well. So, you know, if we saw a Billy Crystal or we saw, you know, somebody from the 70s show up, it wouldn't even need to be that funny because the applause would be so huge. So I think that would be, I'm kind of more in that camp. I mean, Selena Gomez, sure, but like someone of a legendary status would definitely
make, I agree. The Selena Gomez one is like, it's obvious, you know, she hosted last season, so she has a relationship with the show and with these guys. Like that makes sense. The Chevy or like somebody who's like, an OG in the comedy world, I think would be, you know, really cool. And that's what I'm hoping will happen. But, you know, putting money on it, I think you'll see Selena Gomez there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I do over-unders and odds sometimes on SNL. And I would definitely agree with you that, you know, that would be probably like if I had to handicap the cameo likelihood, it would probably be like, you know, put that one at like a minus 400 and, you know, put Chevy at like a minus 1500 or something like that. So, Selena Gomez would make sense. But yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks might be too recent, but if he wasn't just on the season, I would say that's someone that I would bet on. Other than that, super excited for that show. Interesting how it's not the Christmas show, but kind of like how the Kristen Wiig one wasn't a Christmas show and the Chalamet one was, right? Oh no, Chalamet was before that, and I was like, why couldn't they get Bruce for the Christmas show? But Dua Lipa was the Christmas show.
It's weird when that works out like that, but you know, yeah.
So anyway, I just huge round of applause, everyone listening with their AirPods in at their desk tomorrow morning, for Sammy K co-hosting this thing with me. So please clap.
Stop it. please clap.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think we did okay.
Yeah, this was a blast. We'll definitely have to have you back on. This is a pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's been really great to be here, you know, as somebody who is fortunate enough to have been a part of this, you know, SNL Networks. It's been SNL stats. To check another one of these shows off my bucket list of shows to appear on is super exciting.
Shout out to the OGs.
Shout out to the OGs. If you think I did an okay job tonight, please check out our super fan takeovers that I'm fortunate enough to be the host of. And, you know, at this point we've done, you might have more accurate stats on how many episodes we've done. I think we've recently hit like 15 or 16 episodes, which is super exciting and mind-blowing to think about. You know, we've done a lot of fun topics, including an episode recently on Thanksgiving sketches, you know, our favorite Thanksgiving sketches of all time. But with the holidays coming up, you know, we did an episode last year with our favorite Christmas sketches of all time. So if you want to hear me and the likes of Bill Kenny, Andrew Haskell, and Andrew Haynes talk about, you know, some of our favorite SNL memories, please, you know, go check those out. And I'll also be on the round table talking about the Steve Martin and Martin Short episode on Monday. And, you know, you never know when I'll pop up on the network. So stay tuned.
great. I look forward to that. All right. Thanks to all our listeners. We'll see you next time for Sammy K and everybody here. Good night. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you soon.